In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I find myself beginning this sermon not as I had intended, but with a caveat. You can probably tell from my voice, because I certainly can, that I've gained about 5 octaves of bass. So what I want you to do when you listen to this sermon, don't listen to the tone of my voice. I'm not angry, I'm not upset, I'm not freaking out or anything. I don't know why this is going on, this is new, this happened about 10 minutes ago. But we'll roll with it. We have, of course, today, the baptism of our Lord. And what do you think about that? When you think of baptism, I kind of wish your grandson was here, John. John is actually one of the few people that I've ever met that remembers his baptism. And he was actually a baby when he was baptized. So, but there's significance in that statement. What do you remember about baptism? What do you think about baptism? You know, the Episcopal Church for the last several general conventions, as well as other denominations, have put forth resolutions talking about open baptism. We don't think people should have to be baptized, or we don't need to talk about baptism when we talk about the Christian church. Yet that's actually what the Great Commission says, isn't it? Go into all the world baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all that I've taught you. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're all called to do. So, to me, there's a bit of a disconnect there when we talk about the church without baptism. What does baptism signify? Well, there's several different things. Of course, there's different types of baptism, isn't there? There's adult baptism, there's infant baptism, which is actually why we have the rite of confirmation. That varies in churches too. The rite of confirmation remains within the powers of the bishop in the Episcopal Church, I believe in the Catholic Church as well, but in the Orthodox Church it remains with the priests. So there's varying ways, but they all reach the same conclusion. If you have infant baptism, the purpose of that is to actually have parents and godparents make the promises on the child's behalf, meaning that they're going to raise that child in the understanding of the church. They're going to raise that child the way that the church teaches, right? They're going to be raised in a godly way. Confirmation, then, is that child's chance to stand in front of the congregation, in front of God, the bishop, and everyone else, and say, I am old enough now to give my consent and agree to be what you have called me to be. Why do I make such a big deal about that? Well, a couple reasons, actually. I was actually showing Jen some videos on YouTube that I have collected. I find these really neat stories. One that I showed her last night was a husband and wife couple who were talking about their relationship. They were high school sweethearts, but she suffered from anorexia. And they talk about that disease and what it means and how they have to keep fighting. How she has to keep fighting. Even though she's recovered, she's doing wonderfully. She has a company called Hopeful Nutrition, and she actually works with other people that have anorexia and bulimia and helps them through that through nutritional means and everything else. There's a couple of key things on that. She's going through, and part of her fight involves her helping others, watching out for others, looking after others, teaching others. She can't take their illness away, but she can join with them and help them fight. Another very interesting one, and more telling, one that Jen didn't see the other night. Does anybody know who Steve-O is? Steve-O is a guy that used to run around with Johnny Knoxville did the videos that they're called Jackass. They do all the stupid stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you look at these guys and you're trying to figure out how they actually became as old as they became. But Steve-O was addicted to drugs and he was addicted to alcohol, and he was doing an interview about he's been clean and sober for 11 years. But he was talking about his path, right? He's talking about how he gets through every day. And he says, well, we pack up. He says, the first thing that we learn if you want to be a successful recovering person, no matter what you're addicted to, is you go find people that are like you, that struggle with the same things, that can actually help you on your bad days and walk with you on your good days. He says, we still have bad days. We go through and we deal with these things together. And that's how we get through. Those are very telling things. You look at the Christian church and baptism. Both cases that I told you before, it's about caring about the other. That's how you get through. Baptism is about caring about the other. Let's look at our church history and put this in context, same type of context. Who here has ever heard of Perpetua and her companions? Everybody that comes on Wednesday night. So I'll give you a background. Perpetua and her companions were a group of Christians that were actually captured by the Roman Empire. And they did what they always did to Christians. They threw them to the animals. Either you repent your God and call Caesar Emperor God, or we're going to kill you. And we're going to kill you in the most aggressive way possible for our enjoyment. So they would take these weak, underfed, beaten Christians, and they'd throw them into an arena, sometimes being tied up, sometimes being let to roam free. And then they would either set gladiators, bears, tigers, pumas, vicious, violent animals, and they would watch them get torn to pieces. So this happened to Perpetua and her companions. Perpetua was captured, didn't recant of her faith, was thrown into the gladiator ring, the Colosseum. Yeah, thank you, John. And something very interesting happened. She was actually torn across her stomach and survived for a time. Her companions were dying around her. She was mortally wounded, struck again and again by the beasts. She actually kept encouraging her companions through it all. Never even showed any sign of pain. At the end, the Roman centurions had mercy on her and struck her through the neck. But it changed how they thought. It changed how that centurion thought from what he saw. Baptism in Christianity is the point at which we submit ourselves to something more. Something outside of us. We gather together like any other addict would, facing sin, leaning on one another, lifting each other up, strengthening one another. Why would you want to take that away? Why is this even a question? It befuddles me. I myself was actually baptized as a child, as a baby. I later went through confirmation without much understanding. And in my teens, I walked away from the church. there's another rite called reaffirmation. Reaffirmation is actually for people like me. Reaffirmation is something that actually says, I walked away from the church, or I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, or whatever, but I didn't understand my vows, and I certainly didn't live up to them. And you stand before the bishop and the congregation, and you make the same vows again that you make in confirmation. You make the vows that were made for you in baptism. That's the first thing I did when I came back to church. See, I began to understand that I was very much like an addict, that I couldn't do it alone, that by my own will and under my own power, I made a mess of things. Not that I don't still make a mess of things, I'm just better at it. But I made a mess of things. I didn't understand the promises that I made. I didn't understand the promises and responsibilities that I had taken on. So I stood in front of the congregation at St. Andrew's with Jen and Bishop Little standing there. And I reaffirmed my vows. And I remember thinking then, why would we not want to tell people about baptism? More to the point, if our goal in Christianity is to emulate Jesus Christ, isn't that emulating Him by being baptized? I mean, after all, we just heard today He went to the Jordan River and was baptized by John. Can you imagine being one of the people at the river being baptized by John as well? Seeing Jesus walk up, not knowing who He was. Watching Him be baptized and then seeing this dove descend from heaven. That'd be pretty wild. People be sitting there talking. Today's modern, you know, everybody'd be up with their cell phones. Oh. Check it out. Yeah. What do you think happens when they hear the voice? I've often imagined this. Very clearly, it's a voice that has shaken history. It has echoed throughout time since it was uttered. But can you imagine being on the banks of the Jordan and hearing this voice? This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine just hearing that out of the blue? What's the first thing you would do? Hey, John, baptize me too, please. I guarantee that's the first thing you'd do if you heard that voice. Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, uh-oh, something's about to go down. We don't often talk about baptism, do we? We don't often talk about what that means to our faith, or how we enter into it, or what we even think about it. So I'm going to ask you the question again. What does baptism mean to you? This would be the part that you answer on. What does it mean to you? What do you see baptism as? Is it more churchy hocus pocus?
Being accepted into the faith in the church with my family. Family before me,
Hard to put into words, isn't it?
It is.
Nice try, though. What else?
Salvation.
Do you think about baptism? Baptism is nothing less than our absolute undoing and our remaking. You've heard this word before, renewal. Fancy word for born again. Why would we be born again? Think about that. Why would we be born again? When you have that answer, why would you want to make it of least importance? Yeah, open baptism, that type of thing.
Why would you want to be baptized?
No. Why, when you have the answer to being what the purpose of being born again is, why, when you have the answer of what baptism is, would you want to not express that?
Lessen the meaning.
Right, yeah. So think back to Steve-O, right? Exactly what I said. Steve-O goes through and he's addicted to all kinds of drugs and alcohol. He's battling a vicious disease that he cannot battle alone. Think of what we've seen in the last few weeks. Whether you agree politically, don't agree politically, doesn't matter. Think of the mayhem and death. That is the human condition. The brokenness. The oftentimes ineptitude. The hatred that is expressed to fellow human beings. Baptism is the answer. The disease has not left us. We are still broken, sinful people. But we battle together as children of God. A family united under the banner of grace, forgiveness, and salvation. In other words, we don't battle alone. We're not alone. We do not possess the ability to escape our penalties on our own. Simplified terms. Bit of a joke, right? Man is standing before a judge, convicted of a crime. The judge says, you're sentenced to X amount of days in prison, but I'm going to take your sentence. I will serve your time on your behalf. You have a second chance. You have a do-over, a mulligan, tabula rasa for the academics in there. Why would you not explain what that is to someone else? Why don't we explore baptism for ourselves? I understand this is getting a little long, guys. Why don't we explore baptism for ourselves? Why don't we actually engage and look at what we're doing? A few times a year, we actually go through the rite of baptism, and we've not had many here. But do we just fly through the words, or do we actually listen to them? Do you renounce Satan and all evil? Will you follow God? Why are those words important? I can't answer for you, but hopefully this has begun to get you to think. to maybe understand why we need to talk more about why baptism is important instead of why it's not. The why it's not comes from an understanding of what it isn't. The why it is because we're broken. We fight an illness. We fight a disease. But we don't have to fight alone. We fight together. And for you guys in the back, don't look at the Jackass movie and definitely don't imitate anything they do. There's a reason it's called that.